Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Petr Nečas said that a decision over the future of the government had not been reached in Thursday's talks with junior coalition partner Public Affairs. The government is considering reducing the number of its ministries by 3, and some 80% of Czechs would welcome early elections, a snap poll suggests. Top party officials from the government coalition's Civic Democrats and junior coalition partner Public Affairs on Thursday announced that in their effort to find common ground, they had not yet managed to reach an agreement. Prime Minister Petr Nečas said that a decision over the future of the government, which found itself in the midst of a crisis precipitated by the junior coalition party Public Affairs earlier this week, could be expected on Tuesday, as had previously been announced. In related news, Prime Minister Petr Nečas also made it clear that further budget cuts had to be made and that his government was not ready to budge from planned austerity measures that would bring the state budget deficit below 3% GDP in 2013. The Prime Minister stressed that while he was ready to accept some of the demands that had been made by the junior coalition partner, the government was not flexible on its program's priorities. Public Affairs said it would quit the coalition by the end of the month unless the number of ministries was reduced by 3 and the coalition agreement was revised. In related news, the government coalition seems to be considering reducing the number of ministries by 3. Sources from inside both the Civic Democrats and junior coalition party Public Affairs on Thursday told the Czech news agency Četika that the culture, environment and regional development ministries could be scrapped within the government's cost-cutting measures. Under this new plan, the Ministry of Culture should be merged with the Education Ministry, while the other two ministries would fall under the Ministry of Agriculture. Should the coalition go ahead with this step, each of the three coalition parties would lose one portfolio. The leader of the National Socialists, Jiří Paroubek, has said that the government's resignation was inevitable. He added that the opposition should table a vote of no confidence in government within the next 2 weeks. He also called on all other opposition parties to support his push for early elections. Public Affairs were not a coalition partner, he said, but a strange group that embodies all that is wrong with Czech politics in the past 20 years. He accused them of spying on people, political stalking, and sectarianism. Police in the Moravian city of Ostrava have arrested a 37-year-old man who is suspected of having turned his illegal methamphetamine lab into a family business. According to officers, the man, who had been charged with illegally producing the drug in the past, was running the lab with his partner, a friend and his wife, as well as two other individuals. Social workers are taking care of the couple's children who were present when the man and his partner were arrested. Police suspect that he had been producing methamphetamine since 2008 and sold half a million crowns worth of the drug since last fall when they started monitoring him. If found guilty, he faces a prison sentence of up to 10 years. And now let's take a brief look at the rather gray weather. The weather is expected to cool down again with daytime highs of only 10 degrees Celsius, cloudy skies and rain showers. My name is Sarah Barufka and this brings us to the end of the news.
Hi, and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name's Christian Falvey. Many thanks for tuning in. Today, the government has once again avoided collapse, but can the same be said of the Public Affairs Party, which instigated the most recent crisis? After that, Czech NGOs launch a collective initiative to fight corruption in the country. And in today's feature panorama, we look at a new theatrical production that takes its comedic inspiration from the Czech political scene. I hope you'll be staying with us today for all that and more here on Radio Prague. The storm that threatened to bring down the center-right Czech government appears to be over, but it has left Public Affairs, the junior coalition party that started it, badly battered. as public affairs leaders went back to the negotiating table to debate what appear to be face-saving concessions. The smallest party in government fielded questions from reporters about the deepening split in party ranks. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
The proverbial saying about sowing the wind and reaping the whirlwind was effectively put to the test in Czech politics this week. The Junior Public Affairs Party, which threatened to bring down the government unless its coalition partners met a series of far-reaching demands, has been forced to backtrack after its own ministers rebelled against the decision and refused to hand their resignations to the Prime Minister. After the Prime Minister called the party's bluff and expressed readiness to debate early elections, public affairs leader Radek Jón made a humiliating U-turn.
Our ministers' resignations would have scuppered negotiations, and we have come to the conclusion that that would not be right. So we are ready to negotiate.
Well, Mr. Jorn insists that the party has achieved its goal in setting in motion talks on changes to the cabinet and a review of the government's policy statement. The extent of those concessions remains to be seen. Moreover, the Prime Minister has given public affairs a deadline of 6 days for a new pledge of allegiance to the government's fiscal reform plans. While the Junior Coalition Party now appears to be in a highly conciliatory mood, which bodes well for a coalition truce next week, the deepening rifts within the party are seen as a serious threat to the government's future. The party's regional leadership is divided over whether to continue to support a government that has the lowest public support ever. The party's deputy chair, Tomáš Jarolím, who instigated the move to leave the cabinet, has resigned, but it is not clear how much support the pro-government faction within the party actually has, and whether the number of government-loyal public affairs deputies will suffice to maintain a comfortable majority, which is essential for the government's planned reforms. For the time being, party chair Radek Jón refuses to admit there is a problem.
There is no split in the deputies' club. There are no rebel groups. We are united on our negotiating position, but as regards the details of that position, that will be for the Prime Minister's ears.
However, the coming hours and weeks could bring matters to a head. Many in the party are reportedly furious over its latest self-humiliation. And moreover, the man believed to be the real force behind the party, the head of its deputies' club, Vít Bárta, is currently being tried on corruption charges. The verdict, whatever it turns out to be, will inevitably have repercussions not only on his own party, but on the whole coalition government.
Many thanks to Daniela Lazarova. This is Radio Prague. A group of Czech NGOs has launched a new initiative to fight the uphill battle against corruption in the Czech Republic. Entitled You Stole Our Country, Give It Back, the initiative seeks to put Czech parliamentarians under enough public pressure to allow for a thorough probe into alleged links between politics and organized crime. The NGOs behind the new project include the Czech Helsinki Committee, the Romani advocacy group Romia, the student initiative Democracy Czech Up, as well as the Anti-Corruption Endowment Fund. Jan Richter spoke to the fund's founder, the philanthropist Karel Janicek, and asked him what the main goals were.
The goal of the new initiative is to clean the society, or to make it more transparent, to make it fair. Because what has been happening in our countries in the last 20 years is a tragedy, and it's tragic almost, and especially last few years. What has happened is that the mafias got a lot of power, and they have been actually destroying our ethical values, our moral values, and not only that, it has gone to such a bad state that they have been destroying our economy as well. So people are getting quite worse off, and there is no other way to solve the problem other than systematically changing the system, the political system.
Now, the initiative that you're behind, which is called You Stole Our Country, Give It Back, one of the things that the initiative is calling for is the establishment of a civic parliamentary committee which should investigate these corruption links. What does it mean? Who should be on the committee, and what should it investigate?
Well, there must be a civic committee established, because otherwise if you have a parliamentary committee established, the problem being that in our parliament, if not most, but huge part of the people that are in the parliament are really, I could call it almost dark souls. Those are people that are really not there for the interest of our country. They came to the parliament in order to steal a lot of money, to get rich, etc. So there is absolutely no use if we establish a committee that would be a parliamentary committee. So that's why there must be a committee of independent people, of people who have respect in the society, who will do a throughout and fair investigation of the problem and will try to help the country. And the need for the committee is obvious. We need to address the issues of lobbyism, of stealing, of corruption, etc.
You also called for the declassification of materials related to corruption, which was collected by the Czech intelligence services. What do you think these materials should reveal?
These materials should reveal all the records that we have seen between Janošek and them. So this is only a top of the iceberg. There is much more going on, and the problem being that all of this information is being hidden. The Secret Service might have provided this information to the government, but the problem being that our government is simply incapable of resolving the problem. So we feel, we see it, and the logical conclusion is that the only way how to start to resolve the problem of our country is by pressure or of civil society.
Now, Mr. Janáček, what makes you think that this initiative will not be ignored by the country's lawmakers and the authorities? Because, as you said, the committee should investigate all the links, which means they should have access to the materials which are classified. They should have access to things that the public does not normally have access to. Have you had any kind of response from the politicians? Why do you think they should not ignore you?
Well, actually, it is possible that the politician will try to ignore this initiative again, as they have ignored most of the other stuff. However, we try to exert as much pressure and possible as possible the standard legal way to change, to help to change the country. And if this doesn't help, and this is stated in the text, if even such a pressure doesn't help, that I think that the only way to resolve, to save the country, will be for people to go out in the streets.
That was Karel Janáček there speaking to Jan Richter. If you're just tuning in, then thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Now in today's feature, Panorama, life becomes art, much to the dismay of Czech politicians. Here's Daniela Lazarová.
The increasingly absurd world of Czech politics is proving a huge success at a small Prague theatre house, which is drawing the crowds with a political cabaret based on real-life politics. Actors reciting verbatim experts from wiretappings involving prominent politicians and statements from the scandals trial against the de facto leader of one of the ruling parties keep the audience in gales of laughter, a sad testimony of the sorry state of Czech politics.
Chtěla bych ještě říct, že Bárta je opravdu ošklivý člověk. Myslím, že jak zevnitř, tak i zvenku.
The Blonde Bitch Strikes Again is a follow-up to a successful performance staged by the Rubin Theatre Ensemble at about this time last year and revolves around the latest escapades of the junior coalition party Public Affairs, which is never short on scandal. Its de facto leader, Vít Bárta, is currently being tried for corruption, creating emotional scenes in the courtroom where he recently shed tears over the ingratitude of former party members who accuse him of bribery, and the blonde bitch, Kristýna Koši, who seems to go through life secretly recording meetings with political friends and foes, recently produced a tape that has led the junior party to accuse its coalition members of helping to instigate a coup within the smallest party. The political circus, which is on the primetime news every night, was too much for the judge, who also lost his cool and burst out laughing at the testimony of a witness recently, and a lay judge in the trial was expelled after telling the media that the trial made her feel like vomiting and described the case as a cesspool. The play's director, Tomáš Svoboda, explains why secret recordings have taken center stage.
Jo, já jsem si myslel, že odposlech je něco, co je nějaký fenomén, prostě udělalo se to před rokem jednou. A já jsem si říkal,
you know, when the first secret recording surfaced a year ago, I thought it was a one-off thing, but scarily it has become the norm. We are flooded with them now, and transcripts of wiretappings and secretly recorded conversations between politicians come out all the time. In fact, they come so fast that we can't keep the cabaret script up to date. So we have one of the actors say that he has secret recordings of everyone in the country, and they better leave him alone.
Této země, že na každýho něco má, ať už teda mu dají pokoj, jako jo.
My na každého z vás stejně něco máme. Na vás, na všechny. My to tady jednoho krásného dne všechno převezmeme a vytvoříme republiku ABL!
The junior party in government is not the only one providing inspiration for the surrealist performance. The ruling Civic Democrats have also been hit by a wiretapping scandal, indicating that the former mayor of Prague, Pavel Bem, was nothing but a puppet in the hands of an influential lobbyist. Whole segments of these conversations, peppered with vulgarities and secret code names, are recited to an appreciative audience.
Hele, prosím tě, tak mi tam zakroužkuj dvě jména a jedno z nich to bude, jo?
Dobře, tak jo.
Since the performance is a medley involving several ongoing scandals and well-known political figures, it required a framework to hold it together. The storyline is that of a successful cabaret where the actors go haywire and the whole thing falls to pieces. Director Tomáš Svoboda again.
Existuje tam nějaký člověk, který se jmenuje Ondřej Pavelka.
The story revolves around the owner of a cabaret, played by Ondřej Pavelka, who has this successful enterprise, but suddenly all these bizarre figures appear, who start acting crazy and transform the cabaret into a madhouse, where there are crazy scenes from a courtroom and where the order and discipline that formerly reigned is replaced by pandemonium.
Který kdysi měl řád, tak teď vlastně mu tam dělají čím dál tím větší a větší jako bordel.
Lead actor Ondřej Pavelka says it is good to see how responsive and appreciative the audience is.
You know, the world of present-day Czech politics is so much out of joint that the only defense we have, we Czechs, is to ridicule it and laugh at it.
Unlike the audience, which lets off steam from mounting public discontent with Czech politics, visiting politicians, notably Parliament Deputy Kristýna Kočí, who is the lead figure in the Blonde Bitch Strikes Again, are far from happy with what they see. Director Tomáš Svoboda says he is not surprised the play is hard for politicians to digest.
Každopádně setkání s paní Kočí bylo...
The face-to-face meeting with Deputy Kočí was mutually unpleasant. Miss Kočí was very put out by what she saw, and I must say that I can understand why. When a politician faces an ugly crowd at a demonstration, things are different. They expect some degree of opposition and can tell themselves they're defending their own convictions. It goes with the territory, so to speak. But here there were 250 people laughing their heads off at authentic statements she had made, clearly not taking her seriously. Ridicule is a powerful weapon, and if it is the only way to get through to politicians whom we do not respect and want to get rid of, then I'm happy to offer my own small contribution to that process.
Jako když každý občan něčím může přispět, tak já bych chtěl teda přispět tímhletím.
Je v prdeli a už ho není více, je v prdeli. Máš vejky plný plíce, je v prdeli. My máme zlata hroudy, je v prdeli. My umíme i soudy, je v prdeli.
The Blonde Bitch Strikes Again premiered on April Fool's Day, but for 10 million Czechs, this play is no joke. It is the political reality of the present day.
Vždycky jsem si přála prostě, aby věděl národ český, že jsem kanál, mluvím sprostě, kasat triko umím hezky. Všichni mě mě zradili, Lenka však nejvíce, jedinou mou kamarádkou je v ložnici štěnice. Jsem nevinná, nevinná, byla to lež cílená, jsem nevinná.
That was Daniela Lazarová with that edition of Panorama. Topping off our show now for today is the next edition of our language learning series, The ABCs of Czech, brought to you by Pavla Horáková.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague's Czech teaching program, focusing on idioms, featuring domestic plants and farm crops. Today we take a closer look at spices and herbs.
Koření.
The Czech expression is related to the word
kořen,
a root, which suggests that originally spices were extracted from ground roots of plants. Czechs often say
humor je koření života.
Humor is the spice of life. Pretty much every good thing can be called the spice or the salt of life for that matter. For example, love.
Láska je solí života.
And anything that is precious and scarce can be called
vzácné koření,
precious spice. Which leads us almost seamlessly to another spice, which once used to be very precious in this region, the saffron.
Šafrán.
It is used in expressions such as this one.
Dobrých odborníků je jako šafránu.
Good experts are scarce. They are few and far between. Traditional herbal medicine often used wormwood, a plant known for its repulsive bitterness, as a cure for intestinal diseases or to stimulate digestion. Its frequent medicinal use earned wormwood a prominent place in the Czech language. Whenever anything is disgustingly bitter, it is compared to wormwood.
Hořký jako peliněk.
As bitter as wormwood. Wormwood, or Artemisia absinthium in Latin, also gave its name and flavor to absinthe, the green-colored alcoholic beverage that is produced in the Czech Republic, but is illegal in many countries. And maybe rightfully so, as it has been said that the painter Vincent van Gogh was drinking absinthe before he lopped his ear off. Moving on to other body parts. A person's buttocks can be likened to caraway seeds in Czech.
Má zadek jako dva kmíny.
His or her buttocks are like two caraway seeds, meaning very slim and narrow. Another saying has become quite popular recently.
Jít do kopru.
Literally, to go to dill. It means to go downhill, from bad to worse. And it's time to say goodbye before our episode ends up somewhere in the dill patch. So until next time, take care.
Naschledanou.
That was Pavla Horáková with the ABCs of Czech, wrapping up Radio Prague's English program for today. Don't forget that this program and every other is available at our internet address, dayandnightradio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we are always happy to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook or Twitter under Radio Prague, or of course by post to Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, thanks for listening.